May I speak in the name of the one loving, living, liberating God. Amen. The Book of Psalms is the Bible's hymnal, the songs and poems of the ancient people of Israel, drawing on images from their everyday life. Everyday life, of course, looked much different a few thousand years ago than it does now. When the Psalms were written thousands of years ago, before the Industrial Revolution and the modern age, before indoor plumbing and air conditioning, before you could travel thousands of miles in a matter of hours and purchase bananas in season and out of season, life looked a lot different. Have you ever taken a step back and marveled at just how amazing that is? How odd the world now would seem to our forebears, just a few generations back even. How utterly miraculous it is that we don't have to wait around until harvest season to enjoy the fruit of someone else's labor. How today's normal would be yesteryear's science fiction. But I digress. Thousands of years ago, everyday life looked a lot different than it looks now. And in the everyday life of today's psalm, the 137th psalm, something drastic has just taken place. By the rivers of Babylon, the psalmist says, there we sat down and there we wept when we remembered Zion. It is hard enough to imagine a world without our modern conveniences. It is another matter altogether to imagine the world of an ancient people in exile. In the everyday world of the 137th Psalm, the people of Israel are in ruins. The Babylonians have razed their villages to the ground, killed off their able-bodied men, and taken the rest of the people captive. In grief, the people of Israel sing a song, but not one of their traditional songs this time. This is the song you sing when the happy ballads won't work anymore. This is the song you sing when pain ensnares you, when grief overwhelms you, when rage overcomes you. This is a song not of praise, but of lament and of vengeance. O daughter of Babylon, the psalmist says, happy shall they be who pay you back what you have done to us. Happy shall they be, the psalmist continues, in the final verse of the psalm that we conveniently left out this morning, the verse we like to skip over, the verse we'd rather not see. Happy shall they be, those who take your little ones and dash them against the rock. First things first. There is no justification for such an act, no way to make sense of it or to soften its tone. And the Bible is chock full of moments like these, where the words not only offend, but scandalize. And our general tendency, the easy road we're often tempted to travel, is to simply gloss over these moments, pull them out of mind and out of sight as we weasel our way back to more friendly territory regarding faith, the size of mustard seeds, and the like. And yet, what we find here in the middle of the Bible songbook is a rare window into a feeling we're all familiar with but have a difficult time naming. An emotion so deep and so powerful as to be dangerous, unwieldy. What we are talking about here is anger. An anger that, in this particular passage, gives way to violence, rage, and vengeance. But anger, at its core, is something other than those actions. Anger isn't hot-headed temper tantrums or vengeful words or violent outbursts. Anger can lead to such actions, but those actions are not the thing itself. No, the word anger finds its roots in an old Norse word, anger, A-N-G-R, a word that means grief. Anger, at its core, is an expression of grief. Grief over disappointment, or a life we once imagined and is no longer possible. In the context of a people dispossessed and abandoned to a terrible fate, a people whose way of life has been so completely and utterly destroyed, that kind of grief is rooted in a vision, a dream about a world that was and has been lost, or a world that could have been. In 1981, the Reverend Johnny Ray Youngblood knew about this kind of anger. In a statement drafted with and on behalf of the Black Caucus of the Industrial Areas Foundation, he and other pastors put the matter succinctly. Anger and grief, both, they said, are rooted in our most passionate memories and dreams. A father whose spirit has been tried by demeaning work or no work, a brother or a sister lost to violence or alcohol or drugs, a college career sabotaged by an underfunded and increasingly poor education system, a neighborhood of shops and families and affections and relationships ripped apart because banks won't lend to it, because insurance companies won't insure it, because government won't service it, because youth won't respect it, because teachers won't teach in it. Anger, he says, sits precariously between two dangerous extremes. One extreme is hatred, the breeding ground of violence. The other extreme is passivity and apathy, the breeding ground of despair and living death. Friends, we live in a world filled with grief. Grief over lives lost to hatred and violence, as well as passivity and apathy. Grief over possibilities denied, forestalled, and lost. And when I read this psalm today, I am reminded that God, rather than standing aloof, withdrawn from the realities we face day in and day out, God leans in, takes on human flesh, and lives among us. God took on the flesh of a poor man from a backwater town in Galilee in what we now know as the Middle East, a man familiar with the grief within anger and the pain of loss. A man with no money or titles to speak of, but one who knew how to live on that precarious edge, that vulnerable edge between hatred and passivity. A man who loved the world enough to be angered by its hatred and moved by its people. What I've learned from this man is to see the world's anger for what it truly is. A vision of a people made whole, a grief over a dream forestalled. Friends, I am too angry about too many injustices in this world to give into indifference. I am angry about too many things in this world to give into self-congratulating outrage, narrow-minded vendettas, or short-sighted violence. But more than that, my friends, I want to remain vulnerable enough to allow my heart to be moved by the grief that surrounds us. I want to hold that space open in my heart for your pain and theirs. I want to allow that pain to enter the darkest corners of my own heart. So, friends, let us remain vulnerable, yet strong, aggrieved, yet undaunted, angry, yet filled with God's cleansing, all-encompassing compassion and love. May we all be brave enough to stand on that precarious edge and go out into the world transformed. Amen.